Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we have
Natalie Knight.
Yes, we do. It was so fun. It was such a fun interview. Natalie sells direct. It's one of our direct sales podcasts. And she sells direct mostly because she can't sell her books on Amazon because she writes super, super, super spicy, kind of pushing the envelope books. Mm-hmm. And so this is how she does it. And I think that's brilliant. And she's very, very smart.
Yeah. So she uses her website. She sells first on her website. And I think she has some books on Amazon.
She does.
And
she
has a few retailers, you know, that she uses for discovery. So we talked about that and how she kind of organizes her business that way, which is different from some of the other direct authors we've talked to. Right. And then we talked about like highlighting your back catalog and the importance of starting your newsletter early. Always a good topic to discuss.
Right.
And how she uses branded merchandise. So it was a lot of fun. And we had a lot of different ideas, different perspectives in this one.
Right.
So, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so that's coming up. We don't have any new supporters this week, but we do have a monthly sponsor of Book Funnel.
Yep.
And we were going to talk a little bit about them because we both use them and love them. Yep. And I think if you're an indie author, they're almost like a default purchase.
They
it just
are.
Makes life so much easier.
So much easier. I just got my Book Funnel bill yesterday and I was like, okay, I happily pay that. I mean, it's direct deposit. I mean, automatic withdrawal, but it is not even, first of all, it's not that much. And second of all, it's not even something I think about because I would not ever go without it for many reasons. The ease of everything, but the fact that I don't have to deal with my readers if there's a problem is the biggest. Right. Book Funnel support is amazing. They handle everything. If you send something out and your readers can't get it or they don't know how to sideload it or any of that, you just send them to Book Funnel and Book Funnel, their support staff is amazing and they will take care of it and you don't ever have to think about it.
Yeah. And they're just like, they will copy you on, like, if you have an email from a reader, you know, that says, hey, they'll even copy the author to let them know that it's been handled. Mm-hmm. So it's just makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
And I think we've had Damon on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. We should link to that interview.
Yes.
But one thing he mentioned was, and maybe this was at a conference, I don't know, but he said that they use the name Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, for their customer service, because they've discovered that people feel more comfortable if they're emailing back and forth, if they get an email from the same name person. So their customer service is always Jamie for like consistency, which I think that's such a small thing.
It's something that
helps people like feel like that they're being taken care of well.
Yeah.
And they really are. I mean, I don't know that I've had a couple of irate emails from people about certain things that are, you know, related to getting books and audiobooks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can just send them the Book Funnel and I know that it's going to be fine because they deal with this all the time. I'm not a customer service expert, so it's really nice to have them in my corner.
And I feel like we're probably preaching to the choir because most of our listeners are already using Book Funnel. But if you're a new author and you don't even know what we're talking about, like who is Book Funnel? Let me just tell you, Book Funnel is worth the investment. I mean, worth the investment of time to figure out what they do, worth the investment of using them. However, if you're a new author, I think the plan for that is
about $20 a year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty low.
And, but they, if you have anything, a book, a story, an audio book, anything like that, a PDF, but wouldn't be a PDF. You have to get it onto somebody's Kindle or reading device. They handle all that. Like you format it, you upload it to their site, and then they handle getting it on there, and you can use it. They have integration with email, all the email services. Mm-hmm. And so if people sign up for your email to get this thing that you put on BookFunnel, then they take that name, and that name is automatically integrated to your mailing list because they mm-hmm. handle all that. It's just a huge time saver.
Yeah.
It's a huge time saver, and it just takes things off your plate that you don't need to deal with. So they're amazing. Yeah. We love them. So.
And you can use them for PDFs if you have a PDF you want to send out. So I've used them.
That's true.
Like I send out books, but then I also have things that I want to send to a reader that are like games or puzzles or whatever. And you can send those just as easily. So they do it all, basically.
They do it all. So let me
give the link if anyone's interested in that. It's bookfunnel.com/WIKT-podcast. And if you want to sponsor the or if you want to support the podcast, that is wishidknownforwriters.com/support. Mm-hmm. So that's all our support and sponsors. So what have you got going on?
Not a whole lot. Just plugging away at writing a little bit every day. And today's November 1st. So I thought, you know, I've never done Nano, but I might, you know, I really 50,000 words would put me to the end of this book, but I don't know. So it probably sounds like I'm not really going to do it, but had I thought about it sooner, I might have, but you know,
well, but if you do it and you get 25,
yeah, that's 25 like would
a good
25
chunk.
Might get me to the end of my first draft, because I usually write shorter for my first draft. So anyway, that's pretty much all that's going on here. I was on the, did I talk about that? The podcast that I was on?
I don't think so.
The two authors chatting. It came out last week.
No, you haven't mentioned it.
Yeah. Two authors chatting. I was on that. It came out the day after we recorded last week. So I think that's why I didn't get it in there. So anyway, if y'all want to listen to me some more, you can listen to that. It was really great. And we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. So that was great. And I think that's all for me. What about you?
Well, I'm kind of in this like suspended animation because I'm waiting for the last of the books to come in for the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And like, they're not here yet. So I'm kind of just doing all these other admin things. I've done so much admin, which is good because I'm getting a bunch of stuff off my plate uploaded. Yep. I had some translations that I'd put into KU. Those have been out for like, I don't know how long. And those are on my list, you know, to put them wide. So I'm getting that done. Stuff like that. So it's not super exciting, but I was on a podcast too that came out this week. I was on Maddie's Indie Author podcast talking about how to write a series. So we'll put that link and the two authors chatting podcast link in the show notes. So there'll be a lot of stuff in the show notes this week.
Yes, there will be. I mean, I've been doing consulting calls too. If you guys are interested in consulting calls, I still have some spots in November, I think probably because people, you know, holidays and stuff, but you get a discount if you're a listener. So please let me know. And we've had some really great, fun consulting calls and gotten some good stuff done this month.
That's good.
October. So that's been really fun.
So one thing I was going to mention real quick, as I was doing all this admin and uploading, I learned that I think this has been active maybe for longer than I was aware of it. But now you can do a pre-order for print books on KDP, which I did not know. And now, like when I went in to do some things, it was like you can set it up the pre-order within KDP. Used to you had to do it through Ingram or another vendor. So that's really nice now.
Yeah.
I'm trying it out. See how it works. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So,
well, I think we should get on with the show because people are going to love what Natalie has to say.
Right. Yeah. So here's Natalie. Well, today we are really excited to talk to Natalie Knight. Hi, Natalie. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy to be on the podcast.
We are very happy to have you.
So let me read your bio and we'll get started. Natalie Knight writes romance that toes the line and leaves you craving for more. It's dangerously delectable.
That's funny. So how did you get into writing?
Well, I got into writing when I realized that OnlyFans wasn't going to work out for me. LOL. I actually started writing little short stories back in 2016 just for myself.
Yeah.
And it never went anywhere. And then I kind of forgot about it. But then during the pandemic, 2020, I know nobody likes to remember 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started writing again. So I started with InstaLove, although I didn't know that it was called InstaLove at the time.
Right.
And then I just kind of kept plugging away since. So I just kind of got immersed into the romance genre and found other authors to help. I found the Inkers Con group. Then I found the 20 Books group. And then you kind of just kind of make your way down the rabbit hole.
Months and months and months. Exactly.
Yeah, so much information to take in and like absorb. So yeah, that's great. Well, what is your definition of success?
Oh, my definition of success. That I would have to say, especially like as of right now where I'm at as an author, I would have to say having a strong reader base is definitely my definition of success. I know a lot of authors think of success in terms of money. And yes, that's very important. But retaining your readership is also very important.
Right.
And the more an author retains their readers, the more successful they will be down the line.
Right. So, right.
Yeah, that's great. That's very true.
What kind of things do you do to do that?
For one, staying in my lane, which is what Melanie Harlow screams at the top of her lungs.
Yes, she does.
Every day. So always meeting those readers' expectations. You know, they don't have to worry about if it's going to be a book that they will like. You know, I always try to keep the same tropes, sort of, the same type of vibe. You know, if there's anything that I think they wouldn't necessarily like or they're not used to, I make sure to tell them ahead of time in the newsletter. But just mainly staying in my lane helps.
Yeah. It does. And go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I was going to say that writing the same trope, I hadn't heard, or I hadn't thought about doing that until this year at Inkers. I think it was Kat Mara talked about that.
Yeah,
she has a whole series of the same type of trope. And I was like, that's really smart. I hadn't thought of it, but it really would, if your readers really love, you know, enemies to lovers or marriage of convenience or whatever it is, fish out of water, and you always write that, that's always going to pull them in. I think that's really smart.
And it also like kind of protects you against trends. If you just kind of stay in your lane, if you're writing enemies to lovers and that's not trending now, it's fine. But if you continue in that lane, you continue to write books, when it does trend, you are going to rack in the money during that short spike where it's trending. So
yeah, kind of like how they say that vampire books come around every so often. Like they come and they go and they come and they go, but they always come back.
Sports romance comes and goes. All the football authors who write football romance are having their moment, you know, now. So
yeah, that makes sense.
And very hockey. Smart. Yeah. I wish you'd known about writing and craft when you got started.
What I wish I had known, I wish I believed all the articles I read on craft that said, the more you write, the better you'll get.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Starting out, my writing was terrible. I would read amazing romance books and just wonder how they got their words to form on the page. Because my words were not. I was like, but it's true. The more you write and the more you read in the genre you write, the better your own writing will get.
Yeah.
It sounds insane, but it does. And it also makes your writing every day easier. So when you're excited about a story, it's easier to meet your daily word count mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. every day. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But I didn't think I was reading these books, and I'm like, I don't think I can write like this, and I can now.
Mm, that's great. That's encouraging. That's super encouraging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is a lot to master with writing. I mean, and I think that's why it's one of those things that, like, you can write, you know, your whole life and still always have a challenge, something mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to get better at this one technique, or I want to mm-hmm. try this new genre, something that I haven't done before. I don't think we'll ever get bored. I think there's always mm-hmm. something to learn, and you can look back and see that progress, which to me is encouraging, slightly cringy when I read my early books, mm-hmm. but still encouraging.
I just burned my early books.
Trash. Well, that solves that problem.
What do you wish you'd known about marketing, or, you know, just getting the word out about your books?
I wish I'd known that starting a newsletter right away was the number one thing that you should be doing, because screaming into the void is obviously not gonna help you. So I wish someone, I mean, but like, how are you gonna know when you're so new? But right. definitely starting a newsletter and reader magnet, doing those early swaps. It's very intimidating when you're new to ask for a swap with an author who has a list and you don't. But you have to do it. You had to get over that hump. Everyone started with nothing. You know, you just got to remember that everyone started from zero. And now there's programs like BookFunnel and Story Origin that are made to build your newsletter in the seeding phase. Right.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
makes it so much easier, but definitely a newsletter, because I've learned that your first sales when you have a release or anything should come from your newsletter.
It should. Yeah. It should be the thing you can depend on the most, right? It's right. like your go-to.
Yeah. Well, how often do you send your newsletter?
I send it twice a month, usually. So I send it twice a month. I actually don't do a whole lot of swaps anymore. There's coming a change of how authors, especially romance authors, how they do swaps, because there's so many of us, you know? And so we have to strategize our swaps so that we're not losing our subscribers too much, you know? But I usually just send them twice a month. So,
That's good. And are you just given them? I mean, how often do you release?
I release, you know, everyone has like a release schedule. I will finish. So for one, because I've moved, I release mostly on my website now than I do Amazon. And that's probably why I don't have such of a release schedule. I'll finish a book, and then out of nowhere, I'll decide to write another book. And then I'll just give myself this random deadline. So in my newsletters, I usually put, I usually always put something about the books that I've already written. I feel like a lot of authors forget about the books that they've already written. So yes, always shining light on the backlist. And if I have a new book coming, which I usually always do, I'll either tease them with the tropes or with the tagline, or I'll tease them with the placeholder cover. So something like that until it's time to actually do like the cover reveal.
And we're going to talk about you releasing on your website in just a little bit. So we're going to put a pin in that and come back to it. So what assumptions did you make at the beginning of your writing career, and looking back, did they turn out to be right or wrong?
So I assume that the only way to make money was hitting like the top 100 or so in the Kindle store. That I had to write really long books because short books didn't sell, which I found that out was wrong. And that KU audiences don't move with you. So looking back, all three of those are wrong.
Good. That's awesome. So how long are your books now?
I mainly write novellas, so they're usually just between 15 and 20K. I do write novels sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I learned a lot about storytelling, character development,
mm-hmm.
I pretty much have to go by like the first chapter of the book. Mm-hmm. If these are long, wordy, problematic characters,
mm-hmm.
then it will be a struggle for me to squeeze them into a 20K mm-hmm. book.
Sure, sure.
So like I started writing my book that's due in November. And I had an idea like, oh, this will be 25, 30. No, no, this is going to be long. This is going to be a longer one. So I'm on the struggle bus.
I thought I saw you on it. Yeah. Because I live there. Yeah.
We'll frequently. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sleeping in my struggle bus. well, I was going to ask a question about the length, I think. But I can't remember what it is. If it'll come back to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've already mentioned like some things, like some of the assumptions. You've learned some things about the assumptions you made. But what would you say is like the most important lesson you've learned?
The most important lesson that I have learned writing, and I've only been an author, like, you know, putting my books out into the world for about maybe 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you write in Scrivener, you better export that bad boy every day, or you will lose your entire manuscript.
We're laughing, but if that happened to you, I'm so sorry, because that's a very
painful
lesson.
I don't think we've ever had that as a what I've learned, and that's a great thing.
It's so important. Yeah.
Yes. I don't care if you back it up. I don't care if you have overnight backup turned on. If you write in Scrivener, you better export that chapter you wrote for good measure. Mm-hmm. Also, exporting your newsletter lists monthly.
Oh, that's a really
that's
good
also
point.
A lot of people forget, and it's easy to forget because, you know, these newsletter providers, they have huge backups, you know, because they would be in hot water if they lost their customer subscribers list. But it's also just good for you to have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Do you just do that? Like when you finish your chapter, you just export it. Do you have like a schedule that you go in and download?
Every time I finish a chapter, I export it. Because I write, sometimes I write on my phone. Sometimes I write in Google Docs, which Google Docs is a little safer. I just make sure that it's saved. But yeah, Scrivener, because Scrivener is a really good tool. Mm-hmm. It is, but I don't care what they say. I've lost like 30,000 words in Scrivener before.
That's painful.
So I'm just like, no, we're exporting.
Yeah. That's a great tip. Well, what's the biggest change in your thinking? Like, you know, for business or in storytelling or just dealing with readers?
I would have to say that, I never really thought about my writing as like art. Like I just knew I was writing these stories, but I never really thought of it as like my baby or something like that. So I would have to say the biggest change, I've had is that knowing that I am a commercial author, which means, and I quote from Willow Winters, I write for myself, but I edit for the masses and I market for the money, which means at the end of the day, if you want to sell your book to make money, yes, you are going to write the story that you want to tell, but you're going to make sure you edit it for the market that it is intended for, and that your cover and blurb will make the money.
Right.
You know, so that readers see it, because our books are products.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to treat the books like they are products. They're not book babies. They are a form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a juggling or a balancing act where you've got to make sure you're interested in it, but then it's going to also interest your readers, and then it's going to pull in the right people. It's like you need that little Venn diagram to overlap and it can be tricky to get it there, but yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the selling direct.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we wanted to talk to you about that. Cause you said you release books onto your website, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about how that works and how you do that. And
why did you decide to start selling direct?
Well, I started selling direct because I write books that can't be on Amazon. So the very deep end of the forbidden romance spectrum. That is T-A-B-O-O. Mm-hmm. For those, yes. You know. So that is why I have to write books and then release them on my website. It has been a very interesting journey. Mm-hmm. And change of thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's also very freeing. Also, It is. I mean, yeah, Amazon is, you know, 'cause that's where the majority, just retailers, mm-hmm. you know, you still have to make sure that you're uploading books by this time. And, You know, at the end of the day, the traffic, you don't own that traffic. Mm-hmm. You can't contact that traffic, go after that traffic. But anybody who comes to my website, I own that traffic, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, there are legal boundaries in place where if they click on something and they add it to their cart, I can legally say, hey, you forgot this in your cart. And mm-hmm. I could continue that upsell. Once they buy something, I could continue upselling. And It's just, it's, I like it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, we still need retailers as a discovery platform.
Go ahead, Sarah. You know,
I was gonna say, well, mm-hmm. I was just curious about, like, do you use anything in addition to your website? Do you use like Shopify or PayHip or anything like that?
So when I first started selling on my website, my website is Squarespace. Mm-hmm. When I first started selling on my website, I used Squarespace, mm-hmm. and I didn't know about the integrations that BookFunnel has for selling direct. I didn't know about that. So I was literally giving them the EPUB. And I mean, it worked, you know, readers mm-hmm. aren't dumb. They know mm-hmm. how to download an EPUB and get it onto their desired reading device.
Mm-hmm. But it's just a little clunky, like BookFunnel makes clunky. It much smoother, right?
Yeah. And Squarespace isn't really set up to be an e-commerce selling machine like Shopify is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I switched to Shopify, which BookFunnel integrates with. Mm-hmm. So that was much easier and better. And then they have all the apps for upselling, cross-selling, sending mm-hmm. out abandoned cart emails. So it was a very good switch for me. Mm-hmm. And I did my Shopify website myself. I just have the very basic theme. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. Shopify, yes, it is expensive because it is like $39 a month after mm-hmm. 2 months at like a dollar, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to pay thousands to have someone make your Shopify stores. Right. But you know, like, it's fine mm-hmm. if it's just one long menu, as long mm-hmm. as it's organized, mm-hmm. it's fine.
And do you have your email? Like, we just talked to somebody who used Klaviyo with Shopify. Do you do a special email provider with your store?
I will be inserting Klaviyo in November mm-hmm. because the thing is, so a lot of these selling direct courses, they tell you about all these plugins to use mm-hmm. when you're first starting out, and you know how not to integrate your regular mailing list to your Shopify new list. Mm-hmm. Because all of these plugins, they're essentially free or very cheap when you have very little customers. I've been selling on my site for a few months now, so for me to have that app for the email is like $90 a month because I have 5,000 subscribers for my Shopify store, not my regular. My regular newsletter is already 6,000, but I have a buyer's list.
Yeah.
So when you have a buyer's list, it's more money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
So I will be adding that in when it gets closer to my November release. But as of right now, because you know, sales, just like Amazon, sales ebb and flow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of traffic to my website right now because I haven't released in a few months. So, mm-hmm. but when I get ready to, I'll add those plugins back in. Mm-hmm. But they are pricing. You actually have a larger list.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense though. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that if something helps you sell, like mm-hmm. I've always thought like a newsletter provider, email provider is worth it, even if it's expensive, because that's going to keep you in touch with your readers.
Right.
So it makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Well, so were you in KU and then you went wide when you started selling on your site?
So my journey actually, just from being selling my books as an author, I started wide.
Okay.
Because I wrote in a serial format. And so in the Y group, they talk about the free first in series.
Correct.
And so I started wide, and then I wrote, I finished and I wanted to go into KU, but I wrote a different series for that. And so I was in KU, and then out of nowhere, I decided to write my super dark end of the spectrum forbidden romance, and I knew I couldn't put it on Amazon. So it was just a standalone, and I just plopped it on my website. So there's really no rhyme or reason. It's just organized chaos going from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Right.
But I am happy that I started wide, because one thing about selling on multiple retailers is you have to have that marketing hat on. All the time, because you're dealing with not one retailer, but four or five in libraries. And you're also dealing with the serial platforms if you're on that. So you always have to have that marketing hat on. And I think that really helped me. Instead of going from KU to wide, I went from wide to KU. So when even when I started the new series, I was thinking about, how can I sell it? I was thinking about reader magnets, restarting. I restarted my newsletter. Like, I started it all over, like, and so just having that marketing hat on and just really knowing how to write the books that your readers want, and selling them, and that, like, really helped when I started selling on my website. So,
so are your books, do you have any books on Amazon now?
Yes, I have my One Little Daddy series is on there.
Okay.
And it's an interconnected standalone series.
Okay.
So I could just keep writing book after book. It doesn't have to end because it's all different couples in the same town.
Right.
So it's called Stonebridge Daddies, I think. And so I could just keep doing that. And I have a loner Beauty and the Beast retelling out there.
So, well, basically you're using the Amazon for discovery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And pulling people to your store for other things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Daddy series aligns much better with the forbidden books that I write that are on my website because it's kind of like the same vibe. But I think I will probably write a duet that is more closer aligned to my website books, but it'll be Amazon friendly. And so the targeted market will be much, much closer. So
that'll be good. Yeah. And then you just send them to your website at the back of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned serial sites. Are you on serial sites?
I was on Radish for a while.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of pulled it off of there because I wasn't, you know, for discovery on Radish, you have to, you know, get their promotions, or it's very hard because there's so many books on Radish. So I eventually pulled it and I put it on my website. I got a new cover for it. But I know a lot of authors do use Radish, and Radish could be great for discovery. It can also be really good for, I know there's a lot of talk now, not also about selling direct, but memberships like Ream and Patreon. And Radish could also be Radish and Wattpad. Those platforms could be great to get people funneled into your membership if you release stories like that also. I sell shirts. I also have mugs. They're called Libby glasses. Yeah, Libby glasses. Mostly, I don't sell like a whole lot of merch. Because I have to use a site called Printful. And since I don't have my own shirt shop and shirt press, so they do it for you. But in order to make a profit, you have to be selling those shirts for like 28 or $30 because their base is 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I sell a few, and it's nice, you know, it's good. If I sell a shirt or so, that's cool. But I will probably just get my own shirt pressed. They're not really that big, honestly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're not that big. And then I could sell shirts for like 15 and get mm-hmm. bulks of shirts for like right. $5 or something. Right. But it's still good to like kind of know how those Printful, I forgot, there's a name for those type of sites, how they work and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. But if an author wants to start selling merch on their site, that's a good option.
Yeah, because right. then you can kind of test and see what your people like, because there's no mm-hmm. sense in buying like, you know, boxes of whatever, coasters or whatever, if your people really aren't interested in coasters. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of test it before you order.
Yeah, you can test it. And I know I have a ambassador team. Mm-hmm. I haven't really sent them anything yet.
Put that on the list. Yeah,
I know. I need to reach out to my ambassador team. But what I was planning on doing, and I did this for my TikTok team, is I actually just bought them shirts at cost
mm-hmm.
from uh-huh. the Printful place. Uh-huh. So it was only like $15 a shirt. It's only like mm-hmm. five of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if and that's an author wants to like use that to test out. So
And that's a good point. That's a good way you could have something branded and you could just order it yourself through.
Right.
I think you can set things up like on Printful and these other places where you can set up like the custom item, order it yourself, but you don't have to have it go live on their store if you don't want it to. But
you can like, that's what I do too. I have a lot of the shirts myself, and they could be mm-hmm. used, you know, when you're taking your pictures of your books, you could have your shirt on or when you're somewhere.
Yeah, that's cute.
So mm-hmm. Authors can also use that to just, you know, add more of a bookish vibe mm-hmm. to their Instagram or to their TikTok, you know. So
do you do like signed books as well for merch or anything like that?
Yes, I do signed books. It's my most popular. I have a signed book. I have a 6-book signed.
It's hard to say, right?
a bundle. 6-book signed bundle that comes with a free tote.
Oh, cool. So,
yes. So, and that's popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what do you wish you'd known about selling direct, Natalie, when you started?
I wish I had known about Shopify versus doing it on Squarespace like the first time. I wish I had known about Shopify. Other than that, I know a lot of authors, they worry about taxes mm-hmm. for selling direct. It's mm-hmm. a big, scary problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned very early on from accountants that unless you are making a massive amount of money, you can always, at the end of the year, your accountant can always go back and look mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. tell you what you have to pay. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's not like you're avoiding paying them.
Yeah.
But
you're just doing it on the back end. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just going to do it on the back end, you know, because one thing you don't want to do is do it wrong and charge mm-hmm. the wrong taxes or charge taxes in a state that you're not even supposed to be, because then that's where penalties come from. But just in terms of something that I wish I had known when I first started selling directly, Shopify. I wish I had just started with Shopify, because I had so many emails. I don't know how to get my book.
Mm, yeah. mm-hmm. So do you sell mostly eBooks, or are you selling print books as well?
I sell eBooks mostly.
I sell mostly
eBooks. I sell print books, but not like a whole bunch. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would think with your readership, a taboo readership, going to your site is actually better for them even.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm, it is. Mm-hmm. And they get used to your site too,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and they mm-hmm. trust it, and they're just, you know, they check it. Like, sometimes I won't have sales for a few days, and I'll just mm-hmm. get a random sale because they bookmark your site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're waiting either till they have time to buy it, they're coming back to buy it, payday, whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is good.
That's great. Yeah. Very good.
Well, we always like to ask too, what's the best thing you've done to set yourself up for success?
The best thing I've done to set myself up for success, I would say investing in my author business is probably
That's great. Yeah.
The best thing I could have done, because I'm not the only taboo authors, but there's not that many of us. Mm-hmm. But readers have come to me numerous times and they have told me that when they see my book in one of those huge reader groups without even seeing my name, they know it's me from the cover. Mm-hmm. They'll know it's me from the blurb.
Yeah.
My branding on my website is the same. My tote, everything, my book boxes, you know, just investing in my brand as a whole has really helped with my success, because it looks professional. Mm-hmm. You know, I know in the 20 books group, someone, I forgot his name, but he's been selling direct for a very long time. And he said, you know, you don't want anyone, especially readers, you don't want them to second guess when they're on your website. Mm-hmm. It should feel like any other website.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how you go to a website, you're scrolling Facebook and you see this cute top and you go and you get a funny feeling and you don't continue with the purchase.
Right.
Yeah.
You want them to feel safe. You want to create it so that they feel safe on your on your site and in your ecosystem to buy books. And I think that's really smart. Really smart.
You want them to feel safe and to recognize your branding, you know. So I think that's, you know, really important that I invest in really good covers. I invest in having my books edited. I invest in my logo, you know. Mm-hmm. So very good.
Very true. Well, this has been awesome. We appreciate you being here so much. Tell people where they can find you and your books if they're interested in checking out your store and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. They can find me at Band, so it's BANNED bookboyfriendshop.com. So that's where they can find all the taboo goodness. Mm-hmm. And that's like my main shop. And then just if they want to check out my website, it's natalieknightromance.com. So
excellent.
And then I'm also at author Natalie Knight on Instagram and on Facebook.
Okay. Awesome.
Great. Well, that is great. We will have all those notes or all those links in the show notes.
Yes.
And just thanks so much for joining us today and sharing about your store. We really appreciate it. I think it'll be really helpful.
Yeah,
it was great.
All right. Well, thank you. And we will see all of you next week. We will talk to you. We won't see you because that's not what we do here.
And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast and to Adriel for doing the admin. See y'all next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.